And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And we want to say happy Valentine's Day. And today, happy Valentine's Day, especially KKCR loves Eric Cannon. And
Yay, we do.
We love Eric so much. And our guest today, we've got a really strong show. Eric Cannon is a close friend of mine, was my wingman here for about 3.5 years on Kauai Soapbox, co-host. And so we will be honoring his life, 26-year-old man, at the beginning of our show. And then a little bit later in the hour, maybe about 45 minutes after the hour, we're going to have the brand new director of the Kauai Humane Society, Scott Pisani, another Italian like me, and then Basil Scott. He is an animal rescue activist among many hats that he wears with the Kauai Community Cat Project. And the two of them will be on the air with us, and we're going to be talking about the audit that came out on the performance audit on the Humane Society, and that's going to be a topic of the county council report and the county council event on Wednesday, tomorrow. So it's going to be a lot of interesting things. And I want to say that Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store, Betty Jean Nativio, and Howley Girl.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Betty Jean Nativio, artist for hire, teaching both art and cooking, including the School of Chocolate Art for all ages and abilities. Multi-art mediums, including reverse glass painting, available for events, signage, custom gifts, and more. More information at BettyJeanNativio.com or 808-652-3781.
Howley Girl Island Suites presents The Tea Room in the gallery located in Kinipopo Shopping Center in Kapa'a, offering full-service high tea and desserts. More information at 808-822-2253.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Patrick McElroy loves KKCR.
Rob loves Friendly Fred.
Lucy Kaimana loves Jesse Lehua.
Sandy loves KKCR and Kaulana Kanyur Swift.
Kavai Kini loves KKCR.
Alina loves Keone from Worthington.
Shalin and Rogue love KKCR's morning programmers.
Dennis Gilbert loves Kathy Gilbert.
Auntie Maria loves the music and musicians of Hawaii.
Dream loves Dreaming Friendship.
Fred Johnson loves Kathy Johnson.
Jesse loves Amanda.
Regeneration's Botanical Garden loves Kauai gardeners and farmers.
Ashley and Aussie Girl love KKCR.
Lee Ingram loves Kauai Quilt Show at Kukui Grove through February 22nd.
The boys of Himene o Hawaii love Laura Christie.
Tutumanu loves Velina Dudwa Wong.
LC loves GP.
Big Daddy Boom Kanani Donovan Kabibi loves his family, Kauai, and KKCR.
Leo and Danny love Kirsten.
Daddy loves Anamika.
Paulette loves KKCR.
KKCR loves the heartbeat of Kauai.com.
Gary Hoosier loves Isabella Juliet Simmons.
Larry loves Elaine.
Dan loves Karen.
Andy Cliver loves Liz Yeager.
Ella Martinez loves her daddy, Benjamin Esqueda.
Kiana-san loves Dove.
Harvest Market in Hanalei loves KKCR.
Linda Dobra loves Linda Dobra.
Maka'ala loves Dooley.
Yakadu's Bagels loves Celebrity Field Marshal's big giant corduroy couch.
Rosalie loves Jazz with John on KKCR Tuesdays.
Jesse Hart loves Hari Viner.
Happy Talk Lounge loves KKCR.
Patty V loves Michael.
Danny loves KKCR staff and volunteers and Bobo Hawk.
Tracy loves Jim.
Gary Hooser loves Rickson.
Little Crow loves the people of Kauai.
Jeff loves Laura.
Community Futures Collective loves KKCR, Kauai Community Radio.
Del Bland Damour loves Bunny Walker. You are the smoopiest.
Sharon loves the founders, staff, and volunteers of KKCR. Mahalo Nui Loa.
Swamp Daddy loves Pam I Am.
Small Town Coffee loves Emua Coffee Roasters.
A dedicated founder of KKCR loves everyone who helps to keep KKCR on the air.
Tiki Aniki loves KKCR listeners.
Ihor Bosco loves Jane Winter.
Steve loves Wanda Lee.
Gary Hooser loves Claudette Hooser.
Louis loves Fumi, A-R-H-M-I-L-Y.
Sandy Herndon loves Kauai. Mahalo for 11 years of aloha.
The Casas love KKCR.
CZM loves KKCR Radio.
Linda loves Brittany.
Trina Sorrell Bigger loves Brent Bigger.
Moo loves all her ohana. The Praters, the Hendersons, the Makas, the Haumeas, the Chandlers, the Mahuikis, Tanya, Vinaya, Deborah, and Jesse Lee.
Mahalo Nui Loa to everyone who declared their love on KKCR. We raised over $2,000 helping to keep KKCR on the air. We appreciate your generous support. Happy Valentine's Day. Everyone at KKCR loves you. Mwah.
Mwah. And we do love you. And we thank you for all the support, everybody who went and did that. And there's a lot of people we love. And right now, you know, one of the people that we love so much is Eric Cannon, our beloved person from our program. And I have his sister in the show with me right now. And Eric was my co-host on the show. And like right now, I'm struggling to play this music here, and because Eric would have me all set up just fine. That happened to be one of his things. So let me see. I'm going to try again. See if I get this. There we go. Pato Bantan. One of his favorite artists. Just a little bit of him. Yep. Eric was really liked reggae music, liked all kinds of music.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear a little bit.
Something gone wrong. A lot of youth men start walk with gun. Shoot you for money, would I kill you for fun? Seem like enough of them no hear about your plan. Down in the ghetto where me born and grow. This is something I where me want you for know. So listen to me good, I miss a listen keenly. Ghetto people, wanna hear me?
It's gotta be a change.
From the heads of state, the church just a come with them collection plate. No time to wait, we better get things straight. Yes, before it get too late. Ghetto people, tell me why can't you see? The whole of we are just a one family. Time for we get up on we hands and knee and pray to the Almighty.
It's gotta be a change.
Again, man.
It's gotta be a change. Gotta be a change.
Gotta be a change.
time to put down the gun, man. But things are getting worse. Seem like ghetto people are under a curse. I wonder who next have go riding the hearse. For peace and love I hunger and thirst. Unemployment gone on the increase. Drug related crime gone on the increase. Gang warfare gone on the increase. So is the brutality we get from police. Well, every day an innocent youth get deceased. Too late for the doctor, so call in the priest. Innocent bloodshed one day must cease. May I ball out for peace? Will you hear me?
It's gotta be a change. Gotta be a change. Not sleeping.
In the ghetto, gotta be a change.
Yeah, what I'm saying.
In the ghetto, gotta be a change.
Ooh,
in the ghetto,
Lord,
gotta be a change.
Have mercy.
In the ghetto, ghetto, ghetto.
It's kind of a perfect song for Eric because Eric, you know, he's been an activist since I met him. He went to the same school as my sons at Island School for high school. Did you go there, Jessica?
I didn't. I actually went to high school on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
But he, Kauai boy.
Kauai boy. Well, when I met Eric, he, you know, got involved with me because he was involved with so much awareness for somebody so young at 20 years old about what was going on and all the politics that were happening in the world. And he was like, I don't know if anybody's listening. And I'm saying, well, come to KKCR. Tell you what, they're listening.
He's the most passionate young person I've ever met in every aspect.
He is completely passionate. And we had about 3.5 years maybe where we were working together on this show. And we've been, you know, good friends after also. But what has, you know, we went to all these events and marches and pieces of learning about the Public Land Development Corporation, and as we became aware of the pesticide issues and all of that. And one of Eric's gifts was filming.
Yes.
And so as he is filming, you know, he would come and, you know, he would just do it. And I would say, oh, Eric, this is happening. You know?
And he loved it.
And he would come and he would never whine and he wouldn't say, Felicia, this is going to take me 20 hours of effort to edit and upload.
That didn't even go through his head.
Didn't go through his head. And so he was a complete blessing. And I saw him just be really super inspired.
He's still asleep.
The new little baby Eric over here. Yeah. What's his name?
That's Bear.
Barrett, his nephew.
And Eric got to meet him, so we're very thrilled about that.
Yes. So that is wonderful. So I have a few little clips of Eric that I kind of want to just put his voice on the air again.
Yeah.
And so I just picked a few. If people wanted, I have really years of Eric on the air. So one of these, this was a good one. That this is with Malia Chun and Stephanie Seneff and Fern. You know, we have them on. They're talking about, this is in the pesticide time. Let me make sure I'm doing this right, too.
To multiply. So, it's basically
so that's the end of Stephanie Seneff.
In parts per trillion. These things can do.
Okay, so we're going to let her go for a second here. I'm learning how to really bring these pieces up.
Atrazine seminar several months ago with Loring Peng. He brought that up, how just the smallest amounts of something And one of the facts that really just sticks out in my head and just I can't get rid of is if you take a worker on an atrazine field in California and you take a sample of his piss, take it by a thousandth of that, you can use the atrazine in there to chemically castrate a male frog, turn a male frog into female enough that it can produce eggs.
I can believe that because that's what we're finding too at the studies.
And that's a safe level. That's a safe level. There's no warnings to the EPA or anything like that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very questionable. I'm going to pull a couple other ones up too because
he's so much smarter than me.
both of us, the listeners and the guests and everybody really help us to become on top of everything. You know, sometimes it comes at you like a fire hose, though, so it's hard to hold on to every little piece. But
yeah.
We have to put ourselves in the West Side workers' shoes. You know, they're working when people tell them that they're poisoning the land, what do you expect them to do? Just quit their jobs and find the next job down the block? It doesn't work like that. You know, we have to come together as a community to help them leave their jobs, and we all have to feed each other.
Or we can help encourage their companies to just have healthier practices.
Yeah.
Better practices. That's the direction that I see. We are almost so those are two little pieces. I've got about three or four here that I pulled aside. But he would go, and then he would pick it all up, and like what Marshall, who's helping me now, knows that doing these shows isn't 2 hours on the air. It's almost like a life together.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a commitment to having all of that knowledge. And just the fact that he was so passionate about everything that he was bringing to his radio show. Like,
yeah, and we did a lot with permaculture, and we did a lot with planting, and I'm all into that.
Yeah.
And he got all into that, and so his yard and his house for a 21-year-old man, all like a little small farm.
Right now, his house is completely off the grid, 100% sustainable. He just planted this like killer garden, all solar panels, and he just bought last week. He actually just bought. He's super proud, but he just bought a Nissan Leaf.
And
he'd been saving up for that for like a super long time.
And your mother told me. Another thing that's kind of flowing in with this show is in the later part of the show, we're going to have people from the Humane Society and the Kauai Community Cat Project. And Eric is taming a litter of
feral cats
right now.
He loves kitties. So.
He loves kitties. And he's conscious that we don't need them out wild in the environment. We need them comfortable and safe in
homes.
That
was a goal of his in his little zone. But his little spot, he just got it perfect.
So he's very good at all those things. I want to also know, like, when he was younger, really good at robotics.
Eric. He was really good at hurting himself, like jumping off cars. And when he was 2 years old, he jumped off of my dad's car, like face first, because he believed he could fly, and he knocked out all of his teeth.
Oh my! And he's 6'5" almost.
Yeah, he got bigger.
He
than
got
me.
Bigger. Sometimes when I would talk to him, I would stand on the table and look down. So, and then he would smile and stuff because he'd realize. Because when he's talking to me, he's close and he's always looking down on me. So he had a really good sense of humor about that. And
he's a big goofball.
A big goofball, and he was really good at games. And we can say like he passed away peacefully.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard some rumors on the Coconut Wireless about like him, and
so we don't have to propagate any rumors, but he has had seizures.
Yeah, he did pass away like his condition, but I want people to know that when he has those seizures, he does not recall having them. So when he has a seizure, he passes away and he does not like
passes out.
But he was asleep. He went to sleep one night and just didn't wake up. Like he didn't suffer. He wasn't in pain. He wasn't scared at any point.
And for me, it's my third young person in 7 months who has passed away from a seizure.
Yeah.
And another one in bed asleep. And so we have to kind of figure out what is stimulating that. That was when Eric was my collaborator.
Yes.
These seizures, presented themselves. And so we were, doing everything from stopping the gaming and working
he's,
on...
He's tried everything. Because the cause of the seizure, there's 1,500 causes for seizures. Like looking at bright lights or flat this or that or the other thing or eating this or not drinking enough or not eating it.
Right. We went through all the things.
It
EMF,
was his only
everything.
Weakness.
His only weakness that he did not let stop him. And one of the things that he did, is I believe he was a brown belt now, kind of working towards his black belt.
Yeah, and he's
going
to be getting his black belt.
Yeah, he's just about to do that. Yeah.
He's actually going to be getting it on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay, I know he was just about that, and he's with New Breed Academy. That's Kaleo and Kaeo Lopez, who have been.
And I just want to thank their family for the outpouring of love and support.
Yeah, they have been wonderful, and over the years, they have always been by his side.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
We have worked on this, and so I want to acknowledge your parents, Marcia and Ken.
Yes, yeah.
Everybody's kind of going through it, even if Eric had a quiet passing, doesn't mean he's not leaving a whole wake of broken hearts.
Yeah.
So we want to give a shout out to Heather and Neil as well. And a happy piece of this whole story is, even though you guys are all from here, people had moved away except for Eric, and you guys came for a wedding, right?
We were actually coming. Our friend Sebastian Zietz got married on Saturday to Chrissy, and one of our really good friends, Dusty Zietz, got married to Meredith on Sunday. So my brother and I, and I brought my son and he brought his wife and his son. We were here to go to these weddings this weekend. So I arrived on Monday and Eric picked me up from the airport. He insisted because he wanted to show off his new car because it's an electric car and zero emissions. And, so he got to pick me up, and I probably wouldn't have seen him had he not purchased that car. Because my friend Haley took the day off so that she could pick me up from the airport. But he's like, no, I really want to get you. And I was like, yeah, sure, killer, that's awesome. I can't wait to see your car. And then my sister-in-law got in on Tuesday. He picked her up, drove her to the North Shore. Then my brother, Neil, got in on Wednesday, and Eric picked him up too.
Right.
In
so he was able to have some time
alone time with each one of us.
With
that
each
we would
one of you. And
I
heard out from the people who was working out with him the night before.
He had a killer workout.
Killer workout.
Yeah.
Lots of good
great
things.
Great workout. More appropriate.
Yeah, better word.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
He's in love. Life is a 10 for him right now. And so he ascended as an angel to now be looking over us.
All the kids. One of the last things that he and I talked about was how important the children's class was and like how much he loved all those kids and how powerful they all were and like how amazing it was. Like literally that was our conversation from Lihue to like Princeville was how much like how powerful all those little kids were.
Yeah, he loved doing that, and even when he was on this show, often he had to leave about a half hour early to go to be the instructor for the kids' class. So that's a really nice thing. And then so his celebration of life is going to be this Saturday.
Yes, yeah, and we really want to encourage everybody that loves Eric to come and join our family. And we're planning on 10 a.m. ceremony at Blackpot.
Park in Hanalei.
Yes.
End of Veke Road near the river, Hanalei River.
I'm pretty sure we're doing a paddle out, depending on
how big it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to go drown myself.
I have one brother, and I'm putting him in a bubble. So,
right.
If he would let me. And then we're planning on a big party. Kaleo's mother has offered her amazing property across from Kalihiwai.
Across from Kealia.
Kealia, I'm sorry.
So that's Lihui Kinimaka's maiden name. And, you know, now Lopez, Joe Lopez and Lihui Kinimaka, they have the Kealia Country Store.
Yes.
Where the Green Pig food truck is just north of Kapa'a.
And they have been so incredibly supportive in helping plant. You know, it's kind of hard to take this kind of news and then plan such an enormous event. And their support has been absolutely invaluable. Like, I don't know where we'd be without them right now.
Well, if anybody knows how to celebrate life righteously, it is, I just want to say, our Kanaka community, big families, and they know how to really help. And so it's really an honor that that Ohana is providing this for your family. And
Eric was part of their family.
Eric
too.
Was definitely part of their family.
Yeah, they've absolutely shown that with every ounce.
And
so.
And I was, kind of right by his side with a handful of his health issues, and so were they. So
I know
we were all there together, and I do want to just honor him. I don't remember the name of all these titles of the international jiu-jitsu.
Oh my goodness, he has so many. I was watching some of his videos on Instagram. I know there's a lot more on YouTube, but just like the pure power of him. Like, it's really, all my kids are going to be starting jiu-jitsu. I told, my girls don't know yet, but I called them, I was like, girls, guess what? As soon as mommy gets home, you guys are signing up for jiu-jitsu, and they're all stoked. So, and Eric's been trying to get me to do that for years.
And he was
so
always
stoked.
Always going to one after another. And I was usually saying, well, you know, because I want him to get hurt, you know, because I'm worried about his health. But he'd go and win. He's almost every single time, at least on the block.
He would be pretty much every single time.
Yeah. Normally, I think of the really strong grapplers as being more compact build, not big and tall and lanky like that. So, we love you, Eric. Lots of love to the whole family, to everyone. And I picked a song to play to sort of end this segment that, I think is a comforting song. And I'm sad. I have to just pull that out. I'm really sad. It's not easy to say, call it happy, but we can be happy for his life. And
he accomplished everything that he wanted, and he is in a much better place.
And the mom and me out there to my friends that do have seizures, is that you can't sleep alone, I think.
Please.
I think that's the thing, because that's a hard thing. You grow up. You're gonna.
But if you know Eric, we tried to, make him live with us, and we brought him to California.
Yeah, I remember.
And he has never been more miserable in his, he's supposed to be on Kauai.
Yeah, he wanted to come home, but he was very thankful, and I talked to him a handful of times when he was there.
But.
And so I just want to honor the whole family, and Marcia, Ken, Kai, Neil, Heather, any of you who are out there. Wyatt.
Yeah.
Giving love to all of you. So this is a song.
Thank you, guys.
Just Breathe by Pearl Jam. So this is KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. Felicia Marshall on Kauai Soapbox. Loving and honoring Eric Cannon, who's still definitely part of the KKCR team, part of the Kauai Soapbox team. And this is a song of encouragement.
Yes, I understand that every life must end, as we sit alone, I know someday we must go, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Some folks just have one, others they got none. Stay with me, let's
just breathe. Summer skin's never gonna let me win. Oh, oh. Under every fin, just another human in. Oh, oh. Yeah, I don't wanna hurt. There's so much in this world to make me bleed. All I see. Did I say that I need you? Did I say that I want you? Or if I didn't, I'm a fool, you see. No one knows this more than me. As I come clean, I wonder every day as I look upon your face. Oh, everything you gave and nothing you would take. Oh, nothing you would take. Everything you gave. Did I say that I need you? Oh, did I say that I want you? Oh, if I didn't, I'm a fool. No one knows this more than me. I come cleaner. Nothing you would take. Till I die, meet you on the other side.
All right, Eric, we'll meet you on the other side. We love you. We love your whole family. Blessings, and we'll see each other on Saturday for the service. And I want to also point out Auntie Angeline, another completely amazing person in our community, 88 years old. Mother of five, Pat, Michael, Stephen, Jean, and Leslie. Her service is Sunday from 10 o'clock and 10 to 3, and that's going to be over at Auntie Aggie and Uncle Saul's Hale there in Anahola, so mountainside of the road on Hokualele Road, just north of Anahola, towards the mountain. Auntie Angeline, she is an amazing piece of our community too, who had done, has done so much healing for so many people. Auntie Angeline's therapy place right down there near the river in Anahola. So love to her ohana as well. Okay, this is another exciting topic here. I am really honored to have in the studio with me the new executive director of the Kauai Humane Society, Scott Pisani. Let's make sure you're mic'd up.
I am. Aloha, Felicia.
Aloha. And then we've had Basil Scott from many hats, but in this case, the Kauai Community Cat Project.
That's right. Aloha.
Aloha. And just because I'm never quite sure in England they would say Basil.
No, Basil.
Basil. Yeah. Okay. All right. So American style. Basil. Like the, yes. So, thank you for coming, and the big news that's been out this week, and it's certainly been on the internet, is the Kauai Humane Society, the performance audit, came out and had a little bit of rough spots in there. Not surprised, that's why it happened. People were kind of aware. Scott is nodding his head. This is radio. They can't see it. So I want to let you start off, because tomorrow it's going to be coming out in front of the county council. It's going to be a discussion. That When I look at the agenda, it looks to me like it's probably really going to be after lunch, but I can't guarantee that. But it's almost the last thing on the agenda.
I've heard mixed things about the timing of it. I was told by the county clerk that it would actually start at 8:45. So we would be the first on the agenda. I agree with what you said. When I first saw the agenda, it looked like we were later. I've heard, actually on my way over here, someone asked me, is it 1:30? Is it 8:45? I'm trying to confirm it.
I will probably try and send a text off to the council area and see if I can't get that confirmed. And if any of the council is listening or anybody from the office, if you can be an Akamai listener and call into 826-7771 and let us know for sure what time it is. So, Scott, we've got Basil Scott and we have Scott Pisani. Scott from the Humane Society, do you want to tell us like some of the nail-biting pieces that are coming out of this or however you want to frame it? I want to let you be able to say what is, oftentimes it's best if you say, well, what's the worst of what's coming out? You know, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised because it's been an issue for a while, but I'm really stoked that you're in, and I can tell that you've got a really kind heart. So
thank you.
I will let you start. You start sharing with me what you want to let us know.
Sure. Actually, like the residents of the island, I'm reading the audit for the first time. I wasn't involved in any of the audit process, only having been in my position for the last 3 months. And I welcome, just in general, I think audits are a real positive step when done constructively. It allows us to provide opportunities for improvement, and that's how I'm embracing the audit. And I've spoken to the board of directors, and they see it the same way. As far as the items that were identified, one item clearly is some review of the allocation process. We have an interesting contract in that the contract is set up in such a way so that the Humane Society is paid, and it's agreed upon ahead of before the year how much the Humane Society will be paid for the services provided that year. But then at the end of the year, there's an allocation for the services that were provided, and in a sense, how much, what resources were put forward to that, and that's called the allocation. And there were some items identified in that allocation process that could be improved, and so
using simple words, allocation process, that means money spent.
Not exactly.
Or money given or set aside.
No, I appreciate you clarifying that, and that's what sort of. And I'm not trying to talk around the issue. We'll talk more about it, I'm sure. We have an hour and a half to speak. I really want to talk about what I think the biggest outcome out of this I'd like to see is a increase in the level of community trust in our relationship, in our organization, and our relationship with the county. So, but before we get to that, just to try to kind of clarify a bit, and this is where it gets a bit confusing, is that our contract isn't one that's reimbursable. In other words, if we perform a service for the county, we don't turn around and bill them and they reimburse us. What it is they agree to pay a certain amount for services provided. And then we provide those services. And then at the end of the year, this allocation process to kind of show not exactly how the money's spent. It's really a matter of saying, here's what we felt were the resources we put forward to county-supported services, because those aren't going to match up dollar for dollar. In the allocations over the past few years, that amount was the amount of resources that were shown exceeded the amount that was paid. But having said that, it is an important part of the process that the county, the council, the Department of Finance, as well as the residents of our island, have a confidence level that that the services were provided had the right value, that we weren't reimbursed, or we weren't, I should say, the contract isn't a greater amount than the resources being provided. And in particular, the contract actually does state that no amount of money that the county provides to KHS can be used on anything that is not county-provided services.
County-related services. Basically,
right.
Animal control is what that's about. Though one of the things I've been in there talking to the county council about is how do we change that contract? Because the contract right now, and we've said this many times on the radio, is the wording is destruction and disposal. Or it says destruction and disposition, which means destroy and dispose of. So none of this is a reflection on you, Scott, because you're brand new in here. But there has been, I would say, at least a decade of crying from the community, where it seems like more animals are going away than should be and dying. And so when we're talking about allocation of resources, that is really important, and that I think that's particularly important to the county who's paying for the services. And I think, like, when that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of it is allocating what the people want and what the donors want. And I think most people who donate to the Humane Society, when they're donating, they are not donating for the destruction and disposal of these animals. They're donating their heart, or their, you know, their emotional heart, to be, how do we make sure that animals are taken care of well? So I think that was items 3 and 4 on this audit. And so do you want to speak to items 3 and 4 a little bit? Because those were not surprising to me, but I don't think, I think it's not surprising to a lot of people who are worried.
Yeah, a couple things, just because you did bring them up. With regard to the language in the contract, when I was looking at taking this position and I looked at the contract, I was frankly surprised that that kind of language was in the contract. I feel like that language is dated, that it isn't representative of the organization that I would like to lead, and it's not representative of what the organization is looking for in the future. You kind of talked around animals going away and things like that. Let's just be clear: those animals were killed.
They died. Yeah. They were healthy and they died. Some of them.
Yeah, it's hard for me to know. I mean, as far as health and everything like that, exactly. That's a little difficult.
Right.
But the point being, I would maybe put it this way: of the animals that have been euthanized, if you want to say killed, et cetera, that were, you know, under the guardianship of KHS,
Kauai Humane Society.
Kauai Humane Society. Thank you. I believe that with more impactful programs, expansion of some programs we have, et cetera, there is a path to saving far more lives, and that is our goal. As a humane society, that should be and will be is our goal. We do have the county contract creates a dynamic that, if you look at it too easily, you could sort of interpret it to say, oh, you must. You have no other choice but to do this in euthanize.
It looks like a kill contract.
Right. And so first, I think changing the language so people understand that our goal is not to euthanize and that, in fact, our goal is to save as many lives as possible. And then also to really back that up by looking at programs that have been successful on other islands here in Hawaii and other shelters around the country that can save more lives and move us toward that. There are some, again, our community has some unique characteristics, and I don't want to use that as an excuse, but I do think we have to have open eyes about being realistic about what types of change might be required to achieve the saving of lives of certain categories of animals and things. But I'm very much interested and willing to have those conversations with the public, have those conversations with partners like Basil here and other rescue organizations, and to have those conversations with the county as well, the council members, so that we really do get on a path toward saving more lives and euthanizing fewer.
And so just to be real clear and specific when we're saying certain types of animals, I am thinking that maybe that might be feral cats relative to our endangered birds. Like when you're saying unique, just because sometimes if we use words that are non-specific, it might make people go, well, I really don't know what that means. Can I let Basil come in here for a moment? Because I wanted to have you speak first. And what I'm really happy about, this is a big step from a couple of years ago, we would not have both of you sitting here in the same room. So the fact that we have an animal rescue operation in here with the Humane Society at the same time, that's, to me, an indicator of a lot of forward movement in rebuilding trust in the community. Basil, what would you like to share in terms of the audit and maybe putting some context here? As Scott, as he said, he's brand new.
The audit, I think, in some ways showed what people knew was already true, so it sort of proved it, and it showed that there...
So what was that? What's it?
Problems with illegal or excessive euthanasia. Euthanasia, killing animals that didn't need to be killed and maybe didn't deserve to be killed. And on the financial side, frankly, I was surprised. We had a very experienced audit team who ultimately couldn't figure it out because record keeping was poor and small numbers, only a few records were made available. In some cases, records were blocked from the audit. So that, I think, was a bit surprising to me. I think that the Kauai Humane Society owes it to the taxpayers of Kauai to do a better job on that. And just stopping for a second at those two points, and there were other points that we can get to, like the total numbers of animals saved. I think one surprising discussion point in the audit was with respect to killing animals, that this idea that we should pass a law that allows all animals to be killed short of their hold time. And that's pretty much, it did use the word all. And in Kauai Humane's response to the audit, they said that they had proposed a recommendation, and I presume along these lines, and maybe you know, Scott, maybe you don't. It turns out that in Hawaii, a two-day hold time is among the shortest in the nation. And I think that what we really ought to do there is strengthen the hold time. Some people don't even know their pet is gone or aren't sure about it for 2 days, and they may not call the Humane Society till the third or fourth day. So that's a kind of a specific area where we could do better. And in a lot of municipalities, it's required that an animal control shelter contact rescues like ours, and there's other organizations on the island too, when they have a problem that they can't handle. And that problem might be a feral cat, or it might be a young kitten. It might be a dog with a behavior problem, or it might be a hunting dog. So these are all kind of typical cases for Kauai, and it turns out there's rescues for each and every one of them, and people who would like to be involved but in the last 3 years have really been blocked. So it's encouraging to me that Scott is maybe ready to change that, and that's very important. And I think for changing laws, we could encode it in law, because I think it would be comfortable for anybody who's real responsible.
I'm in agreement. I think if this contract was written in a way where it felt more like what the people have been asking for, it would do a lot to create more confidence and you know, we had Nathan Winograd. You're familiar with who mm-hmm. he is, right,
yeah.
Scott? Scott from the Humane Society. So he was here last summer, and in fact, you, Basil, were you introduced him. So he has something called a no-kill contract, and that's a piece that has seemingly been working in a number of locations. And so when I see these darling little ads that you have, like today you have something like have a one-night stand, right? Because it's Valentine's Day, like to bring is cute with a big red heart and a dog with a rose in his mouth, so you could take the dog home overnight. You had home for the holidays. There's been more creative advertising. And while we're using marketing comments, when I look at the Humane Society, to me it's always been low inventory. When I go in there, I think, because I used to have retail stores, the inventory could be heavier, like keeping more animals in there. I do know that all around in neighborhoods, people, like, I know if I find a dog, I'll just be honest, I'm not going to take a dog to the Humane Society, because, and it's supported by the audit, about 50% of them are put down. So it's as likely as not that dog's going to get killed. So I realize I'm going to be killing my neighbor's pet, possibly, if I take it in. And cats is more like 75 to 80%. So you know, I'm not going to call. And what I do is I put it out on Facebook. It seems to me that we could be doing something like that in partnership with the Humane Society. We could be working together with the Humane Society to be doing things like that. And I had somebody the same day that I was talking to you, Scott, a couple days ago. I want to just honor you that we have been having good conversations, and you just went to the Humane Lobby. I know that you are actively working for a better direction. I talked to somebody who is from Kekaha, and he says that he knows people who just take their dogs to Koke'e and let them go. If they can't keep them, they're not going to surrender them to the Humane Society because they feel that that is pretty much certain death. So they would rather let them, you know, have their best chance in the wild. I'm not suggesting to listeners to do that because that's hard on our birds. It's hard on things. But we need to really look at and see and interpret the Humane Society as a partner in helping animals. I think that is, it's a weak point right now.
People got to trust. This is Basil, and people got to trust. And I think the idea about putting your dog in Koke'e, it's really hard on the dog. I mean, the dog is probably going to die, and it's probably going to starve and then get a disease and die from an infection or something. So it's very, very tough. And so it's something that you just hate to see anybody do. And the same thing with kittens. I mean, we have found young kittens abandoned, and they're just left to die. And they die hungry, screaming for help. If they are old enough to survive for some time, they're full of parasites and they die. So it's a terrible thing. But I think for the average person, there's this ethical dilemma. You know, the chance at life is better than almost certain death. And that's what we got to change.
Right. And one of those things to me is spaying and neutering, and I was talking with Scott, and my push to the council, it's not really up to me, but I'm going to make it try and make it be my thing, is I'm saying, like, they used to have coupons for spay and neuter. I think let's just do free spay and neuter to everybody, and that the doctors, as I'm pitching my own view, this isn't the, you know, this is Felicia's view, that vets can turn in their spay or neuter with picture of the dog or whatever to the Humane Society, and that there should be money from the county that pays for that spay or neuter, and some wholesale rate, like 30 for a neuter or 50 for a spay, you know, cheap deal. But, like, again, as a retailer, that's like a loss leader. It brings that pet owner in to see you. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But I think that if we did free spay and neuter, what would work is that I call that pre-kill, you know? There's a pre-kill contract, you know? We could like, just not even have them exist in the first place, so it removes that ethics. I don't think it's in question that we have more available pets than seemingly there are families for it, especially in our tight rental market where they don't want to rent to you if you have a pet. So we have a challenge, but that's one way. Are you guys okay if we take some callers? I think I have a couple holding. Is that right?
A couple things, and backing up, you know, I think Basil hit the nail on the head. People are in a tough ethical conundrum. They want to do what's right. And one of the parts that KHS can play in that is rebuilding that trust when we start to see where we're more successful with saving lives. We can start that going in a more positive direction, because dropping animals off in Koke'e is not a good recipe. Having said that, people feel like there's no other choice, and so that's our challenge. And just, you know, one other thing, you talked about the fact that we're limited with our adoptable locations, and you hit the nail on the head with things like rental situations. It's hard to find a rental that's animal friendly, but I really do think those are challenges that we need to overcome, and I think there's a lot we can do. I don't want to rely on that sort of as excuses. We've seen our adoption rate the last 2 months has been double what it was last year at the same time. Our job isn't done. We're still euthanizing too many animals. But my point is, that was some good marketing, some other things. We didn't build homes that suddenly, you know, where renters could take animals. We still were able to get more animals in homes, and I want to continue that progress. Additionally, I think one item that is critical for our success is for us to continue our transfer program. Our community seems to agree with that, as they came up and matched donations when we had a fundraiser for it at the end of the December. And that can be a great option as well for getting animals out of our shelter and into loving homes. And so I don't mean to dispute what you're saying at all, Felicia.
You're saying that's well taken.
I hear that a lot. People are like, I don't want to hear what can you do. Well, there's things we can do. Again, we do have some unique situations on our island, but those are hurdles or challenges to us, but they're not things that we can't overcome. And I do believe, I'm very confident that with an approach that uses, that includes partnering and that includes the public having their voice, whether it be with the county council, whether it be directly to me in other forums, that we can start to move forward, come up with programs that meet the community needs. So I just wanted to point that out, that I do feel it's very positive, but I think you guys have both very eloquently stated the challenges that we have in front of us.
Yes, and so we're about to take some calls, and I'm just prefacing with, you know, this no-kill movement and is really compelling, and so I'm anticipating, so whoever's holding, I'm anticipating that might be part of their perspective. So that's contracts that seem to be working in different communities. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air. And forgive me if you're not
a
no-kill
person. Aloha, can you hear me? This is Sheila Young.
Yes, yes. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. First, I want to say aloha to you, Scott. I will introduce who I am after I say a few things to you. I believe I've done a lot of research on you, as I do the Humane Society and have been for the last 8 years, following the pattern and been actively involved with them in a sort of roundabout way. But I wanted to say to you, I believe with my heart that you are a very good person from what I've read about you. I also believe that you came here in a fantasy world. You don't really know what you walked into, and you're learning now. I have some things to share with you as well as introducing myself. I started with the original No-Kill Humane Society 20 years ago, doing adoption television shows with Sherry Ho. Then I handed the show over to Laura Wiley.
Sherry Ho was the executive director.
And came back a few years later when Becky Rose was there and did adoption shows. And during that time, I wasn't really paying attention. There was several employees coming to me saying a lot of the similar things that are going on now. So I've been noticing this pattern. And then an ironic thing happened to me. I was placed in a doghouse with the Alanawan family. They're a very well-known hunting family. And I live next to 30 hunting dogs. And what I do is I take care of their skin herbally and their cages. And I fell in love with one dog, Oreo, and it became my dog. Then Oreo started chasing chickens, and I was told to put it in with the rest of the hunting dogs, but I didn't want to do that. So I took it to the Humane Society thinking, oh, good, Oreo will get a great home. He's a killer puppy. He's beautiful. I signed a form saying if he didn't get a home, please call me. I want him back. 2 weeks later, I got a call from Becky Rhodes, at the time the director, who I was doing TV shows with, telling me at 11 o'clock in the afternoon if I didn't come pick up my hunting dog by 3 o'clock that afternoon, that she was going to be putting Oreo down. I did not get the message until 5 o'clock that afternoon and went into the emergency hospital after that from the anger that busted me out in a rash and sores. During the time of healing, I created Kauai Rescue Reserve Ranch for hunting dogs and horses. And I started on my path but couldn't get the funding. So I went off on my own and started working with the hunters and doing the skin thing and asked them if they would be willing for us to come in, myself and a veterinarian, and do on-site spayed and neutering. Because I had done a television show that I have with the Humane Society where they stated that over 50% of the dogs killed there are hunting dogs. But that opens up into a whole new arena because we are not like the rest of the United States. Here, hunting is about tradition, culture, and sustainability for many families. So when you mess with their hunting dogs, you're messing with their culture and their traditions, which has caused a lot of anger with the hunters and the Humane Society. So that's a huge issue, I believe, with my heart. And whether changes are made or not, on my own, I am currently working on a program where I am going to be going into the cages with my products because I want all these hunting dogs to be VIPs. They're very important pets. And I want to take care of their skin and have them have beautiful quarters and get all the hunting dogs that these hunters don't want to breed, get them all spayed and neutered, and then they have the ones they want to breed and take care of, and that will cut down, according to the numbers that the Humane Society said to me on the television show, at least half.
Sheila, I need to say, you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall. This is a station that loves you. And I've got Basil Scott from the Kauai Community Cat Project and Scott Pisani in the studio here, new executive director from the Kauai Humane Society. And Sheila, continue.
Okay, and the other thing is, and I hate to say this to you, Scott, because I really believe that you're a good person. But this board of directors has been the same board of directors that we never meet, we never get to talk to, we never hear anything about, really. They're in the dark. They're the ones that give the orders, and I know they give you your orders, too. Okay, so the bottom line is, part of Nathan Winograd's program, the most important part and the first part is we must remove all of the players that have been there through this entire 20 years and replace them with no-kill completely people that believe in no kill and are willing to follow Nathan Winograd's program to a T because he has a very high success rate for turning over and finding homes and outside of the box. He has the No Kill Advocacy Center. It's already, the programs are already laid out. They're there to help assist us with any issues or problems we have. They've been there through this entire operation before you got here, and in order to have success, we must get rid of the 20-year board of directors that have been behind the scenes pulling their things on this contract that's outdated, and there are no procedures or boundaries in the contract talking about how to find homes. It's all about disposition and destroying. So the other big thing that nobody really knows is there is a state law that says only the Humane Society gets the number, Scott, that you didn't say, is $780,000 a year of taxpayers' money. There's a state law that says only the Humane Society gets that contract. And until that's changed and the wording of the contract will help. But we've got to get that state law changed so we can open it up for other advocates that are already in line waiting with their programs and wanting to do the no-kill programs. But until we get all of the legislative stuff in order, we are just going to keep on seeing these same patterns over and over again. And to tell you the truth, Scott, I'm sick of it. So I hope, I think you're a good guy, but I'm sorry to say this, Scott, but, you know, Nathan's thing is very strict on everybody must go and the new people must come in. And that is the only way our island, specifically because of what we have been through, is going to trust the new, not keeping the same people that have been making the same mistakes and doing the same patterns. And we've been hearing the same MO that you're saying now through the last 10 years that I've been investigating. So there's nothing that anybody can say because I clearly see everything that's been going on for all these years. So what I'm hoping for is that we don't waste time on all of this stuff and we go straight to the no-kill policies and follow Nathan's program. He was here in June. It's on YouTube, his video. he is telling us exactly what we need to do. It's effortless. It can happen overnight. And I personally am ready. But whether it happens or not, I am going to be working with the hunters, and I'm going to bring in a veterinarian with me, and we're going to be doing on-site spayed and neutering, and the hunters are going to be only breeding the dogs they want to breed and take care of, and I will do whatever I can to help their skin and their cages and do whatever I can to make their lives more beautiful, because honest to God, Scott, I've been living around these dogs and working with the hunters and the hunting dogs for I don't even know how many years, like at least 10 or more years, and they are the most loving, sweetest dogs I've ever met in my life, and I will not give up.
Okay.
Until I see this change that I just mentioned to you changed, completely changed, all of them out of there and the new ones in, and that's it, period. You guys can talk all you want about this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, but until the behind-the-scenes people are gone, we cannot trust whatever you guys are going to do.
So
and I'm sorry to say that. I really wish you well, Scott. I think you're a great, good person with Aloha. I really do. And I personally will help you in any way I can to educate you further so we don't create any more cultural problems between the hunters and the humane societies. I want to see peace, and I want to see these hunting dogs be treated beautifully like they deserve.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with The Copper Man and Second Skin.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Second Skin Organics Hawaiian Mosquito Shield. Safe and effective. Protecting you and your ohana since 2001. Kauai grown, GMO free, sustainable organic agriculture based solutions. Uamau ke'ea o ka'aina I ka pono. More information on their global mission and vision for Hawaii at secondskinorganics.com.
Are you interested in growing your own food? Are you striving towards a more sustainable living? GoFarm Hawaii is an agricultural training program offering those interested in farming a combination of knowledge, experience, skills, and support to assist them in becoming viable production growers. For more information, come to GoFarm's AgCurious Seminar on Wednesday, February 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. RSVP info at GoFarmHawaii.org or 245-8318.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, Scott, we have another caller, but would you like to respond to the last caller, or do you want to take the next call?
Sure, I can talk to, or can respond to Sheila's.
Okay, so go ahead. Let's respond to that, and then we'll take the next call.
Awesome. First, I want to, I know she's off now, but I want to thank Sheila for calling in. Obviously, you have a person who's very passionate about saving animals and backs it up with action. She's a person that is doing what she can do with the community to improve the lives of animals and to save animals' lives. And I want to give her credit and thank her for that effort. And I hope she doesn't ever get so frustrated that she stops doing those types of things. She mentioned Oreo, her dog, that she had turned in with hopes that and expectations that it would be adopted out. What she described, the situation she described, is heartbreaking. I think she really eloquently put how important our relationships are with our animals. They're part of our family. And when something like that happens, it's understandable that you'd have such a strong reaction and feel the way she did. I'm disappointed to have heard that occurred. I'd like to say that It would be my goal that that would never happen moving forward. But I appreciate her sharing it because without understanding those kinds of things that have happened, it would be very difficult for us to. They just empower us to help get us on the right path and make sure that we make sure that those types of situations don't occur again. And then the other thing she mentioned, and she did highlight the hunting community, that is something that I've identified as a critical point in what KHS needs to be doing. People have probably read my interview, like things in the paper and things like that. And I always talk about community. And I really do mean, I don't mean that as just some sort of throwaway line. It really is important that all the different stakeholders in the community, and whether that be, you know, folks like Basil and other rescue groups, whether that be residents, whether that be the county council or other elected officials, but also a really critical part on this island is the hunting community. And so I am taking action. I can't really elaborate on it at this point, but it is the goal of it is to develop a strong relationship or stronger relationship with the hunting community so that we understand what their needs are, the KHS does, and we allow that to help us find solutions that everyone on the island as much as possible can get comfortable with. And I understand the challenges with that are going to be a lot because there's going to be, you know, issues where you have different folks in different camps, but to really try to find out what are the things we can do to move things forward. I think Sheila's done some really great things, it sounds like, and I appreciate her approach and that she's been able to do that. So, you know, that's what I would say is that type of feedback is what I'd like to use to, you know, to help light our path going forward. Basil?
I don't want to keep the caller waiting too long, but I wanted to comment on the state law that Sheila referred to. Kauai is the only county where there's a mandate to contract with a specific organization for animal control services. And I agree with Sheila that it's time for that to change. So there's ideas out there like more a fee-for-service-based approach where for every dog, you know, you get $25 for every day you have to hold, the mandated hold period for the dog. And these monies could be spent on more than one organization. And so that would probably reduce costs to the taxpayer, and it would definitely help organizations like Sheila's, for example, stand up and operate better. So, but for that to be fully enabled, the state law would have to be repealed, which is actually a very easy thing to do because the law requiring that the services be contracted would still stand.
Yeah, but they didn't schedule it. Mel put it in again, but they didn't put it on the schedule for this legislative season, so it means it's a year out.
Right, and so it's something for people to let their voice be heard. And, you know, so, in fact, recently a group of people has stood up a Kauai SPCA for the very purpose of saving
Society
every animal.
Society of the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals,
right.
SPCA.
So it turns out that late last year there was an organization founded, and so there's a group of people behind that. And it's a good example of an organization that wants to be able to help, and if they could participate, they would, and everybody would be better. Animals would be better, make it easier for Kauai Humane, and more animals would be saved.
Okay, and let's take our caller. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Hello.
Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You know, there's a huge difference between cultural practicing and just pure neglect. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a real easy way to slough off like, yeah, we're a cultural society that uses hunting dogs versus we just neglect our hunting dogs, and it's just, it sickens me. I rescued a hunting dog that was in a group of seven puppies just down the street from where you live, Felicia. They had all turned on one of the puppies, and they were going to eat it and kill it. You know, and that's the way the owner wanted it, because he wanted to imprint the pack mentality on his little group of starving puppies. And I go, hey, I'll give you $150 for that one dog. you know, before he gets eaten and killed by the others. And so he sold it to me, right? And the thing is, and this isn't a cultural thing. This is, I don't know where they got this idea. Every vet knows this. You know, I discussed this with Scott Sims, you know, and he knew it as good as anybody. Is the mentality is that you're going to make your hunting dogs hungry, you know, for only feeding them bones for a week or two, you know, and to make them basically starving so they'll want to hunt. So it gives them incentive to go out for the kill. But naturally, if they kill a boar or, you know, or a sow, they're not going to eat the animal. They're going to maybe go home and the imprint of that they've made a kill, so now they get to eat the animal. It doesn't work that way. They bring the pig home and the dogs home, and then they maybe might give the dogs a meal, you know. And the animals don't, you know, the best hunting dogs in the world are the ones that are taken care of with tender love and care. Like you know, the crocodile hunter, Steve, are you still listening?
I am.
You hear me?
Yes. And then
Steve Irwin, the great Steve Irwin, he died, you know, the crocodile hunter. He loved his dog, Sue. It was like a pit bull that was the best hunting dog you could ever want. And that guy loved and took care of his dog. It wasn't skin and bones like 90% of all the hunting dogs on Kauai.
I think you're making your point.
And one last thing, and I'll leave you with this, okay? I'm super disappointed with the standards of neglect of the Humane Society here in Kauai, okay? Because you know, typically you'll see a dog that's just skin and bones, all the ribs are showing, and unless that dog is like 48 hours away from death, you know, the Humane Society just goes, well, I guess they're okay, and they walk away. They can't even give a ticket, like a parking ticket, you know, where they go, look, you've got to feed your dog a little more, sir or ma'am. You know, you've got to put a little weight on your dogs because, look, all their ribs are showing, because it becomes an ego trip. It's a facade. It really is between what is really truly a cultural thing and just a pure excuse for neglect, is that the hunting, a large majority, I'm not saying all of them, but a large majority of the hunters, they pride themselves on how skinny their dogs are.
Okay.
Because they have it in their idea that a skinny dog is lean, it could make its way through the brush, it has more incentive to go for the kill.
Okay, Danny. Thank you.
I can't stand the low, you know, should be ticketing.
We got
more
your point.
Ticketing.
Okay.
You got the point?
I got the point.
Well, good, because it's horrific.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's only the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to take this off the air. So thank you.
Thank
Aloha. So this does happen to be one of my neighbors, and he is very active with helping wild birds, or, you know, he's very much has a heart for animals. So do either one of you guys have a comment on that? Like, that's the opposite side of the argument, is that some people, you know, abuse their animals at home, and that's a tough one. Because when the Humane Society is called, like, when do they take the animal, and, you know, it's a issue that can be seen differently by the different people on either side of that.
Yeah,
This is Scott from the Humane Society.
Thank you. I appreciate Denny's passion. It's really troubling when you see an animal that's being starved for something like thinking that, you know, starving an animal is going to make it a better hunting dog. It's just, you know, that's not accurate. And you know, we would look to for any opportunity we can to change that and to educate. It is one of the challenges, and I'm sure, you know, it's akin to what our police officers might deal with as well. But our humane officers, we go out and we investigate cruelty. You know, we get calls from folks like Danny and other people in our community, and we go out and investigate. And, you know, I've had calls on both sides of that, which is, why didn't you take that animal in? We feel it was in a situation where it was cruelty. And our officers are in a challenge because we've also had situations where we take an animal and folks say, you're ripping our family apart. And so I don't want to make excuses. I think our humane officers do a good job with cruelty investigation. Having said that, all you can say is, you know, you keep trying to look at the situations and see if you can improve. One thing they do often do, they have to make a judgment, and oftentimes they will look at a situation and really focus on education and really focus on, can we get as many of these animals spayed and neutered as possible, versus if we walk in and we start on a regular basis just ripping dogs out of homes, pretty soon the door is closed, no one's home and we're there. It becomes a cycle, and it is a little bit akin to, I think, some of the problems you can have in an overly policing sort of environment. Don't get me wrong, we will always go and arrest someone if there's cruelty, and we will confiscate animals to get them out of that situation and get them on a better path. But we also have to be cognizant of, at sometimes, is education the better way to go? But Danny, again, you know, stated very passionately how frustrating it can be when you see miseducation or poor behavior. And it's one of the things I'd like to have as an open conversation with, you know, the hunting community and with representatives of the hunting community to understand, because I know my understanding is that there's a number of folks that actually sort of do it the right way, and there's some other folks who maybe you know, push the boundaries. And whatever solutions we can come up with that will get more folks on board and give them the resources they need to continue to do what they, you know, what they feel like is important to them, and what's, and to respect that part of our culture, but then also to try to move us in a more positive direction for the treatment of the animals.
And I'm looking at the plan. I mean, it's called the planning committee for the county council tomorrow. And it does look like the second to last event of the day for the council is, it's called PL. I don't know what that means. PL. 2017. Do I have that right?
I did see a committee.
Oh, committee of the whole. Yeah, it's a committee of the whole.
I did see a communication. I think it's confusing because the auditors are not from Kauai, and so they wanted to hold it in the morning because of their travel schedule. So I don't know if they'll break it or what they're going to do. We could really use some clarification from the
from the council. Okay, yeah. Because if you go to www.kauai.gov and you look under county council, or you can watch it live online, and it's also on channel 54, I believe, on cable television on Hawike. You can watch it live. Certainly going in is valuable. Going in anyway is valuable. Another important thing that they have tomorrow on the agenda is the process for important ag lands. Like, they're looking at maybe changing the procedures. That's another really big hot thing that is, sounds kind of boring, but not boring at all, at least not for this particular show, because we care very much about how our ag lands are used. But if people go in, that's a good way to voice your opinion. Council testimony, singular, at kauai.gov is how you can also put it in if you don't have time. Showing up there at the council chambers, which is the old historic building, is another valuable place to go in and be involved. All right. I got another caller, I believe. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Sheila Young one more time.
Okay.
Before we leave, Scott, there's three things that I would like you to keep in your mind. Once the coconut wireless around Kauai or the other islands, but mostly Kauai, spreads, it's done. And what's happening right now is our community no longer trusts the Kauai Humane Society at all. So basically, anything you guys say at this point, we're not going to trust it unless there's some major changes. You've got three things against you guys right now. You've got this audit. You've got a petition that I started with 900 signatures of people wanting the contract and the state law changed. And you've got a lawsuit with 12 employees that were telling the truth about all of this stuff that we're now finding out in the audit coming to a head. So you've got three things surrounding the Humane Society right now, which to me is checkmate. We no longer trust the Humane Society. So unless something major comes in to change the dynamics of the board of directors mainly,
Nothing will change, and it's a bunch of hot air. I'm sorry. You guys can say you want to make this change and that change, what you guys have said in the past, all these programs, but the same MO happens, only it happens bigger and bigger and bigger. And this one is big. We got three against you.
So
the next time, I don't want to be involved. I'm doing the best I can behind the scenes because I'm just going to bypass all of it.
So,
and do what I can to eliminate the population in the hunting community and get them upgrades and help them instead of piss them off. And so I just want to remind you of that, Scott. You know, as much as you guys are saying all of this stuff, unless we have a complete change that follows the no-kill procedures of Nathan Winograd and his success, I'm sorry to say that I personally, and I know that my followers, are not going to be trusting anything you guys say, and your numbers as far as take-ins will be hardly anything because nobody trusts bringing animals to the Humane Society anymore. So that's all I want to say. I wish you luck. God bless. I hope for a happy no-kill contract that brings in the community and Freddie's Dog Park to be turned into a zoo that will bring in money and donations, a rescue zoo where animals are healing people and people are healing animals, and it's a donation thing for the tourists to come and their kids to play, and it's a beautiful thing. That's a 3-acre piece of land, Scott, that you guys got tied up in a dog park that could be used for animals and more animals and helping heal the animals and the people.
There's
another one for you, Scott.
Thank you.
Anyway, I will do whatever I can to help you if you want my feedback anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. So I understand with what she's saying right there is that she can share that with Scott, but really the listeners who are hearing it, if they were in agreement with her, it's really more the place for them to share that with the county council. Because Scott is an executive director. It's not his position to replace the board. The board chooses the executive director. So I just want to publicly acknowledge, Scott, that that's not your kuleana to do that. But if people felt that way, then they could, you know, possibly put that pressure on the council. I'm not sure how easy it is for the council to actually implement that, but pressure can happen.
You know, whether the board changes is up to the board. And I think this is a very interesting and challenging question for the board. I agree with Sheila. I may not put it quite as dramatically as she does, but I think that the time is well overdue for not just new blood on the board, but, you know, 100% transfusion. So, but only the board can do that. And so I think the question for the board is, would you take yourself off the board? Would you take yourself out of the game if you are convinced that that will make it better for the animals and for the organization that many of them have supported for so many years? And I think what Sheila's talking about is true. I think that the community, you know, it's easy to lose a reputation, but it's very hard to gain one. And so Kauai Humane really, really took a hit. I don't think the board appreciated the extent to which, especially Penny Sestaro, damaged the brand of Kauai Humane. And so the question they have is, if I were to step aside, would the endeavor be better a year from now or 5 years from now?
Well,
and I think it would, but they are the ones, and only they, can decide that.
Well, I think I've been on a number of boards, and so when I look at board structure, it would seem to me that if there was a position for something like four different types of animal advocates, dogs, cats, you know, maybe hunting dogs is a special piece. It seems to me a vet should be on it. I think they usually do have a vet. You need somebody probably who's a lawyer, probably need somebody who is a strong bookkeeper, fundraiser. You know, most boards, they're just not just a group of people. It needs to be people with a diverse background. But I do think if people like, I'm just going to say, if you were on the board, I think you have demonstrated that you have a lot of knowledge about this. And my intuition would be if the people who are the animal advocacy groups are on that board, there's going to be a lot better cooperation with the community that wants to help. And then the community that wants to help might have a little reality check and realize it's harder than it seems on the outside than it might actually be on the inside. I don't know. I mean, just that sometimes that does happen. But it would seem to me, even if they expanded the board, and I'm going to get hard backlash for even saying that, because the people will say, I just heard, you know, it needs to be a complete transfusion. I don't feel it's my position to be really making that statement. I'm just saying, as a person who's been on many boards, you know, you want to have some diversity, and you certainly want it seems to me that the animal rescue operators should be allies, not adversaries. And I think there's lack of clarity on that. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox and Marshall. And in the studio with me is Basil Scott from the Kauai Community Cat People and Scott Pisani from the Kauai Humane Society. And we are having a really rigorous discussion about, you know, what direction is the Humane Society going to take. A performance audit was honestly demanded by the people. It was a pretty angry demand. I want to give a shout out to the government for, instead of taking sides, I thought that was a really good call, and they said, let's do a performance audit. And I've looked at the performance audit. I would kind of say there was a lot of validity in the concerns that were expressed. And so we just need to figure out how we're going to fix it and move forward. I want to, you know, show a couple things that are coming up on Kauai, and our underwriters help us.
It's time to celebrate the 40th annual Waimea Town Celebration with an event to honor our kama'aina who give back to Kauai through service. This year's Ambassador of Aloha is Keith Yap, Chairperson for Kauai Ni'ihau Burial Council and Treasurer for Hospice, Leadership Kauai, and WKBPA. To celebrate our Ambassador of Aloha, Nahoku Hanohana Award winners Natalie and Iolani Kamau will be performing at the historic Waimea Theater on Wednesday, February 22nd at 6:30 p.m. More information and tickets at WaimeaTownCelebration.com or 808-651-5744.
Folks, we're trying to bring you the best entertainment value for your listener support.
Hawaiian Immersion School opened its doors in Kekaha, Kauai. This chant recognizes a new day, a new dawn is upon us, and Hawaiian language is alive and well. Help us celebrate this month, Kamahina o Lalo Hawaii, Hawaiian Language Month.
E ola mau ka o
Lalo Hawaii.
Long live Hawaiian language.
Aloha po alua mai ka ko. Ovau no o ka leo na lani mahuka.
Ovau no ili kea vau moho.
Aloha, ovau no o kamahina tuade oyemo. O kia kala umikumaha o pepelu wali he po alua kia.
O kawahi pana o ke ia la oia no o kalani pu'u. O kalani pu'u ke kahi pu'u maluna o ke kua lono o haupu. Ka'a vale ke ia mauna ya puna mai kamoku o kona.
Ma kawa kahiko a I ke kahi mau makahiki aku nei ua ho'ohana ina po'e Hawaii I ke ia pu'u no ka hale I puku kui a me ke kahi wahi kilo ua kilo la ko ia na ia i ka hono o nā vilivili. Wahi ana poe haka hiko i nā kū o kalani puu i ka lai mālie o kauwai.
Hiki ke lohe ke ia wahi pana i ke kahi mau oli mele a me o lalono e au no kauwai. Ike me ke ia oli a mako ma kawai kini.
Ho mai kawai ni na ale, na ale kua lolo ka yeye, a o hau pui ke aloa pua a ho olone ke ano kalani puu.
Aloha Tuesday, everybody. Today is the 14th of February. Today's word of the day is kalani puu. Kalani Pu'u is a pu'u on the mountain range of Ha'upu. It is part of a mountain range that divides Puna from Kona. In the Wā Kahiko till today, Kalani Pu'u was used as a lighthouse and a place of observation. Kilo or types of fishermen would go on top of Kalani Pu'u to observe fish in the bay of Nā Vilivili. They would even guide the fish into nets from Kalani Pu'u. It is said if Kalani Pu'u is clear, all of Kauai sits in the calm. Is Kalani Pu'u clear today?
Have a great Tuesday. Chee-hoo!
Yay, and we are having a great Tuesday, and I want to thank my guests and Marshall for coming in on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's to all three of you beautiful gentlemen.
Happy Valentine's Day.
To you, Felicia.
Happy Valentine's.
Yay, and happy Valentine's Day to the listener out there. We're kind of getting closer to the end of the show. Who wants to go first?
I'll start.
Okay, Scott from the Kauai Humane Society, Executive Director.
I appreciate the calls that we've gotten, a couple of very impassioned folks. Want to give the opportunity to those that haven't called in, or maybe this isn't really their approach. You can call the Kauai Humane Society. I'm either in the little phone directory when you get there, or just ask someone that you'd like to speak to me.
Scott Pisani.
Scott Pisani.
P-I-S-A-N-I.
That's right.
Scott Pisani.
And for those of you who have internet and have email, scott@kauaihumane.org. Send me your comments. If you'd rather do it in person, let me know. We'll set up an hour. We can talk. I welcome that to anyone in the community. I want to hear your perspective and your feedback. I really want to make sure that Kauai Humane Society represents the community as a whole. You know, as far as the different topics with regard to no kill and those types of things, I guess my focus and what I expect my focus for my team, the employees and volunteers of Kauai Humane Society, is going to be focused on moving forward, putting in programs that can make the community proud to have Kauai Humane Society part of the community. I understand there's been a loss of trust from a lot of folks. The best we can do is just do our best to rebuild that, and that's what we're going to do. So that's really the key things. And then the other item is we will be expanding programs and putting in new programs that will result in lives saved and result in less euthanasia and killing. And I think small examples, but a couple of the examples that you mentioned, Home for the Holidays, the transfer program, those are things that are immediately having an effect. We're saving year over year a significantly higher number of lives, but we got a long way to go, and that's where we're going to go. So I want to hear from folks. I want to hear their feedback, their suggestions, et cetera. And I look forward to partnering with our community to solve these issues.
I saw that you have two openings. Are those still open?
We do have those two openings. We encourage people to apply. That's one of the best ways to help the Humane Society. You're more than welcome to volunteer, but we also have job opportunities. There should be more in the future. There was, I know of at least one other, which is a dispatch position that will be posted very soon, and there should be more. We that's part of what we're looking at is where can we appropriately hire effective folks to come in and really help us with some of these programs. So keep an eye on our website. We accept all applications, and we'd really like to talk to you about how you can make a difference with Humane Society.
And I'm just throwing my opinion in there. Yeah. I'm just saying to my friends, a whole bunch of friends out there who are heavy animal advocates, I watch people almost put themselves in the poorhouse intervening. You know, maybe they should at least put an application in, go in and talk. Maybe it can be, they can become part of the team and actually be effective at helping change some of the culture and, you know, changing some of the outcomes and getting paid instead of spending money to do so. That's my own opinion. Nobody gave me authorization to say that. I'm just throwing it out there. And I noticed that there's a basement. There's a basement in the shelter. Is that right? It was built with a basement?
Yeah, our shelter does have a basement. Really, almost the entire floor plan actually has a basement below it. And not a lot of folks know that, but that is a hurricane or just disaster relief site. So it's there for the shelter animals to ensure that they have a place safe in say, a hurricane situation. But it's also something that is available for the public. So although when a hurricane were to come and we've got a hurricane warning, probably the last thing you think about is separating yourself from your animals. But that is a service we provide, and we would love to be there for folks if they are in a situation where they can't, they want their animals to be safe and they have to be somewhere separate from their animals. Rather than leave them behind, we'd like them to know that they can drop them off at the Humane Society and then pick them up once the hurricane worries have passed.
Okay, thank you. And again, I want to thank you for coming in. I cold called, asked you, I think maybe last Thursday or something like that, and actually kind of demanded it. And you know, I appreciate the grace that you're like, okay, I'm happy to. And he's in here, and I said, are you fine if I bring somebody in who has a very different viewpoint? And he said, of course. Yep. And Basil, you are very articulate at, advancing the interests of the animals. And I want to give you a chance to really share your mana'o here as well.
Thanks. And thank you, Scott. I think that you are or can be part of the solution, and I know you want to be. I think that you need a clear path. And so some of the topics that have been discussed, like the board needs to change and we need to connect the board with the community, are right on. Those things have to happen. The audit is an outcome of people actually standing on the street with protest signs in front of Kauai Humane. And that history happened because people were fed up and some particular events happened, and it was like lighting the powder keg, and it exploded. And so it took a long time. A lot of people are very satisfied that it happened. I think that it's too bad that a lot of animals died, and there was a lot of human pain, and ultimately that's what led to these protests and the energy. That's all negative. The audit actually sets a path for positive solutions to occur. It identifies specifically where some of the problems are, and it's addressed areas that people were upset about, like the excess euthanasia. For the county government, it addressed cost issues, which they have been concerned about, as they should be, because they watch our tax dollars for us. So I think that we need to take the results of the audit and take some action. And some of those actions would be to revise and update laws so that the laws protect people better and they force whoever is in the command seat at Kauai Humane to inform animal welfare and rescue groups when there's a dog or a cat that might be put down. That, you know, builds the community and helps the outcome. I think financially, we haven't talked about it much, but there's clearly a lot of change that needs to happen. And I'm a fan of a very simple model. You know, forget already about allocation and percentages and everything. Just make a very simple model. The simpler, the better. And why not let some other people play? People like Sheila Young, ourselves, Kauai Animal Rescue Society, even Kauai Animal Education Center. All of these groups are people who really want to help. Let's give them a clear path, too. And so I think the audit opens the door for that. It's a starting point. It will take people pushing on our elected representatives to make it happen. And so I hope that everybody here is energized. I know that at the council, the audit will be received in committee. The next step, or it will be accepted by committee, the next step is for it to be received by the full council, which is another opportunity, which could occur in 2 weeks or later, for people to come in and say what they think. But, you know, if we don't talk, and the council, so the council can hear, nothing will happen. And a lot of people have sacrificed a lot and worked hard. So don't drop the ball now. You know,
right,
we are halfway home. And we can set a standard for the whole state, which should be very exciting to people.
And if people can't make it at 8:45, very typically the council will take public testimony at 1:30 as a standing offer. So even if people don't hear and aren't in there for the presentation of the audit, and, you know, as I feel like somebody in the middle of this, it came to me because people were calling this show and complaining, and then we're looking, so paying attention and hearing what people are very upset about. When I look at the audit, to me it says guilty as charged. And so, and I see another vigorous nod of the head over here, won't say who that is, but it came out vigorously, guilty as charged. And so where I think we are really in a new playing field is before we got an you know, it was denial, 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 and blame on the public is what I felt I heard. I heard the citizens, the families, the animal owners, everybody just being irresponsible and exaggerating. And I think that that's been clarified. And we've got a new executive director, and I know our community is really looking forward to considering the Nathan Winograd piece. I would recommend to people who are showing up at the meeting tomorrow, if they show up, to be polite and respectful. To go in and abuse either Scott or anybody is unproductive. Certainly to be abusing the council members, unproductive. It's as glaringly obvious to them as it is to the rest of us who have been listening to it. And if it's not glaringly obvious to the core people inside, I think we've got some of that in the President of the United States, right? No, I shouldn't say that. It's pretty obvious. So we're not done yet, but I want to thank Scott Pisani from the Kauai Humane Society and Basil Scott from the Kauai Community Cat Project, and for basically representing the rescue organizations here on Kauai Soapbox on KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And it's Valentine's Day, and we appreciate the folks who declared their love and helped us raise $2,000 more. We are listener-supported, so by people saying who they love today, we've raised $2,000. So we are going to listen to that, because we love you for loving people on KKCR.
Patrick McElroy loves KKCR.
Rob loves Friendly Fred.
Lucy Kaimana loves Jesse Lehua.
Sandy loves KKCR and Kaulana Conyor Swift.
Kavai Kini loves KKCR.
Alina loves Keone from Worthington.
Charlene and Rogue love KKCR's morning programmers.
Dennis Gilbert loves Kathy Gilbert.
Auntie Maria loves the music and musicians of Hawaii.
Dream loves Dreaming Friendship.
Fred Johnson loves Kathy Johnson.
Jesse loves Amanda.
Regeneration's Botanical Garden loves Kauai gardeners and farmers.
Ashley and Aussie Girl love KKCR.
Lee Ingram loves Kauai Quilt Show at Kukui Grove through February 22nd.
The boys of Himene o Hawaii love Laura Christie.
Tutumanu loves Velina Dudwa Wong.
LC loves GP.
Big Daddy Boom Kanani Donovan Kabibi loves his family, Kauai, and KKCR.
Leo and Danny love Kirsten.
Daddy loves Anamika.
Paulette loves KKCR.
KKCR loves the heartbeat of Kauai.com.
Gary Hoosier loves Isabella Juliet Simmons.
Larry loves Elaine.
Dan loves Karen.
Andy Cliver loves Liz Yeager.
Ella Martinez loves her daddy, Benjamin Esqueda.
Kiana-san loves Dove.
Harvest Market in Hanalei loves KKCR.
Linda Dobra loves Linda Dobra.
Maka'ala loves Dooley.
Yakadu's Bagels loves Celebrity Field Marshal's big giant corduroy couch.
Rosalie loves Jazz with John on KKCR Tuesdays.
Jesse Hart loves Hari Viner.
Happy Talk Lounge loves KKCR.
Patty V loves Michael.
Danny loves KKCR staff and volunteers and Bobo Hawk.
Tracy loves Jim.
Gary Hooser loves Rickson.
Little Crow loves the people of Kauai.
Jeff loves Laura.
Community Futures Collective loves KKCR, Kauai Community Radio.
Del Bland Damour loves Bunny Walker. You are the smoopiest.
Sharon loves the founders, staff, and volunteers of KKCR. Mahalo Nui Loa.
Swamp Daddy loves Pam I Am.
Small Town Coffee loves Emua Coffee Roasters.
A dedicated founder of KKCR loves everyone who helps to keep KKCR on the air.
Tiki Aniki loves KKCR listeners.
Ihor Bosco loves Jane Winter.
Steve loves Wanda Lee.
Gary Hooser loves Claudette Hooser.
Louis loves Fumi, A-R-H-M-I-L-Y.
Sandy Herndon loves Kauai. Mahalo for 11 years of aloha.
The Casas love KKCR.
CZM loves KKCR Radio.
Linda loves Brittany.
Trina Sorrell Bigger loves Brent Bigger.
Moo loves all her ohana. The Praters, the Hendersons, the Makas, the Haumeas, the Chandlers, the Mahuikis, Tanya, Vinaya, Deborah, and Jesse Lee.
Mahalo Nui Loa to everyone who declared their love on KKCR. We raised over $2,000 helping to keep KKCR on the air. We appreciate your generous support. Happy Valentine's Day. Everyone at KKCR loves you. Mwah.
We do love you. And we love you, John Gordon. John Gordon, Jazz with John, is up next at 6 o'clock at the top of the hour. He's also our beautiful voice in the County Council report. I encourage people to listen to it intently. We have the Humane Society topic is coming up. We're not clear whether it is in the morning or at, you know, probably right after lunch. It's very much worth, if you, most of us are kind of pals around here, Scott, it's kind of a small community. Call your favorite county councilman and say, hey, when is it happening? They're going to maybe, no, I'm not supposed to say that. Hey, guys, sorry, but you could ask and you can find out. It's good to go in. It's good to watch and listen. It's good to pay attention. I hope that there will be time with this deliberation where it's really looked at and encouraged and decisions are being made. And also, I'm all about trying to solve problems without having to make anybody wrong and to try and actually be respectful to the board, too. Maybe they thought they were doing the right thing. You know, maybe they are doing the right thing in compliance with that contract to destroy and dispose animals. But, you know, we could argue that they are doing that. And certainly, many pets do. Like, I think there was almost 700 pets that got adopted out last year, like 729, I think it was on the last year, though it was 2,400 who perished. So that, to me, that's over 75% died as opposed to were placed with new families. There was about 400 and some odd that went home to their existing families, like maybe they were lost animals. Important ag lands also on the agenda tomorrow. And if you don't know what that means, that is very important. It's like how we set aside land that will always be there for planting, farming, even while planting and farming is not economically, it doesn't pay well. Nobody's making good money at farming, but we still want to have those important ag lands under cultivation. So that's a big thing. I want to announce that there is an introduction to aquaponics systems. That's part of our food and eating, and you could register online at kauai.hawaii.edu. It's in the Office of Continuing Education and Training, and so March 1st, on Wednesdays, it's coming up for 5 weeks. I took that class.
So did I.
It was great. We were in the same class.
That's right.
That's how we met each other, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. And we made a ferrule cement aquaponics, me and my students and my kids. So we have a 1,100-gallon tilapia, passive tilapia pond. And, me and 12-year-olds made that ferrule cement pond. So that was good. We learned a lot. So that's a good thing. Avalanche of important bills in front of the county, all kinds of things. The state. And tomorrow is the last day, drop-dead date, of what gets on the calendar. If things don't get scheduled tomorrow, then they won't be heard, like the bill for having competition on the Humane Society. And we love you, Scott. Not trying to give you a hard time, but sometimes competition is a good thing to have there. So we're going to just go around the room. Marshall, I haven't even really picked your brain on this show at all, and you were busy on the phone when I was talking about Eric Cannon, who has passed. I said how intertwined our lives are, the people who work together to do this show. It's a lot more than the 2 hours, and Marshall and I work, I don't know, we probably have 10 hours worth of discussion, I would say, in a week of collaboration and what we learn about and work on, and then we have time on our own where we're attending meetings or doing resources. So thank you very much, Marshall.
Oh, you're so welcome, Felicia, but you know I do hardly anything compared to you.
Stay healthy.
Right on.
All right. And each of you, would you like to say aloha somehow?
Well, aloha, Felicia, for setting this up. And talking both of us into coming here, I think it has given both of us a chance to express some of the ideas that are important, and I hope these discussions can continue.
Thank you. And Scott?
Want to thank the folks that have called in and also the folks that have met with me over the last 3 months and encouraged me. And although lots of folks have shared some opportunities for improvement for us, I've heard a lot of positive support as far as and very hopeful support that we will move forward. And so I appreciate that. And I want to say happy Valentine's Day to my wife.
Yes. And thank you, Mrs. Pisani, for sharing him tonight. And, you know, on KKCR, if you go in, if you wanted to hear the show and you missed it, you can go right away. If you go to kkcr.org, you'll see archives, and it'll say Radio Free America. You click on that. You can hear this show, though you have to hear the entire show. You can't jump around. And in a few days, Marshall always has it on the website, FeliciaCowden.com. You can go in, and then you can skip around on it. And I'm starting to videotape some of these, so shout out to Hoike as soon as I get in there and edit this, and this will be a simple one. This will also be on Hoike, so people who can see it in their house. So people in drive time can learn this, and people in their house can. So thank you all. Kauai Soapbox, Felicia and Marshall signing out. Jazz with John up next. And right now, the County Council report.